Perfect Government Coming Soon, an article by Roderick C. Meredith. As nations turn away further and further from the God of the Bible, the basic foundations of our entire society are beginning to crumble. But there is good news. A perfect government ruled by the returning Jesus Christ will soon bring peace and prosperity to our planet. Those who understand Bible prophecy can recognize that our present society is near its end. We really are in the, quote, last days, the Apostle Paul described nearly 2,000 years ago. Quote, "But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. And from such people turn away." Quoted from 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. Marriage is being redefined. Disrespect for God, for parents, for teachers, civil leaders, and even for the value of human life itself is increasing. Truly, the chickens are coming home to roost as our society rushes further down the moral toboggan slide into depravity. As we see governments all over this earth begin to crumble, becoming corrupt and perverted in more and more ways, it should become obvious that if Almighty God is going to send Jesus back to this earth, it had better be pretty soon. So what is ahead? With so many examples around us of corrupt rule over the nations, some may find it hard to believe that God himself inspired his prophet, Isaiah, to describe a coming ruler who will rule with love and, quote, "with righteousness he shall judge the poor and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall slay the wicked." This is quoted from Isaiah chapter 11 and verse 4. What will be the universal atmosphere over the entire earth at the time this government is set up? Quote, "They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." Quoted from Isaiah chapter 11 and verse 9. The knowledge of the Lord, that is the understanding of God's entire way of life, will permeate the earth. For a little earlier, God inspired Isaiah to state, quote, "For out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between the nations and rebuke many people. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more." Quoted from Isaiah chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. A real world government. Are you aware that the Bible gives a detailed description of the soon coming government of God? It is very real in God's mind, and it had better become that way in your mind if you plan to be there. Notice the description of what will happen right before Christ returns. Quote, "Then the seventh angel sounded, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, The kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever." Quoted from Revelation chapter 11 and verse 15. Is this just some abstract idea or allegory? No. Your Bible reveals a whole system of government under Jesus Christ. For instance, the prophet Hosea was inspired to tell us what would happen to the 12 tribes of ancient Israel after they were driven into captivity. Quote, "For the children of Israel shall abide many days without king or prince, without sacrifice or sacred pillar, without ephod or teraphim. Afterward, the children of Israel shall return and seek the Lord their God and David their king. They shall fear the Lord and his goodness in the latter days." Quoted from Hosea chapter 3, verses 4 and 5. Yes, your Bible tells us specifically that King David of ancient Israel will be resurrected and given back his former job as king over the whole nation of Israel in the latter days. Why King David? Because he was overall the most capable and righteous king Israel ever had. he was often used as the, quote, benchmark by which other kings were judged. Often, historical books of the Bible will record that a king was righteous, as was his father David. Also, God is quoted even in the New Testament as saying, quote, I have found David the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, who will do all my will, quoted from Acts chapter 13 and verse 22. With David's vast experience and total dedication in administering God's laws and way of life, he has been chosen directly by God to be over all of the tribes of Israel, Judah, Ephraim, Manasseh, Zebulun, Naphtali, etc. These tribes, as thousands of you readers know, are now comprised of the modern English-speaking nations of the United States and British Commonwealth, plus the peace and loving nations of Northwestern Europe, in other words, France, Holland, and the Netherlands, etc. Also, Jesus Christ himself has appointed the 12 original apostles to directly rule over the 12 tribes of Israel. Luke chapter 22, verse 29 and 30. Ancient Judah, the Jewish people, may be put under Peter, who was the leading apostle for many years. Ephraim, perhaps the most materially successful tribe, may be put under James, or perhaps John. Manasseh, Ephraim's brother nation, may be put under John or Bartholomew or Andrew. Do you get the picture? These governments will be real, and they will soon be actively administering a genuine government here on this earth. Revelation chapter 5, verses 9 and 10. Throughout the entire earth, with a vastly increasing population because of happy and growing families and no war, there will be thousands of cities and municipalities to be governed by other saints of God under the 12 apostles or other spirit being kings and priests. All the gentle nations of the earth, including Germany, that is modern Assyria, and Russia, modern Gog or Magog, will be administered by spirit rulers, perhaps under the direction of Daniel, just as the Israelitish nations will be governed overall under David. We may surmise that Daniel may be the ruler over the various Gentile nations, since God used him to rule over the greatest Gentile empire in the earth's history, the head of gold that is described in Daniel chapter 2 and verse 38. But even though we can only surmise some of the specific details, we can be sure of the big picture as this outline of organization is given directly in the Bible, and it will be set up this way within the lifetimes of many of you. Our magnificent opportunity. Under the 12 apostles, then resurrected to rule over the nations overall, who will rule over the various individual cities and other governmental structures in Christ's coming government? The many other resurrected true saints of God. For God's word specifically explains that it is the saints' reward to possess the kingdom. Daniel chapter 7 and verse 22. The prophet Daniel goes on to explain that as this present age comes to its end, quote, then the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdoms under the whole heaven shall be given to the people, the saints of the Most High. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him. Verse 27. Yes, the genuine saints of God, those who have fully surrendered their lives to God to do his will, as King David did, will rule over the nations of this world under Christ and under David or Daniel or other great leaders who may be placed over them in Christ's coming government. So what are some identifying characteristics of these saints who will rule? The Bible explains who these true saints are. Quote, here is the patience of the saints. Here are those who keep the commandments of God in the faith of Jesus. Quoted from Revelation chapter 14 and verse 12. Yes, these millennial rulers will be resurrected saints who in this age understood and obeyed the Bible and kept God's commandments. They will have truly known God and walked with him. As the beloved Apostle John explains near the very end of the New Testament, quote, now by this we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He who says, I know him and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Quoted from 1 John chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. My friends, Millions today may know about God and believe in their own personal concept of God. But you, as someone reading the truths presented in this magazine, may in fact be one of the relatively few now being called to know and to become deeply acquainted with the true God, the Creator of heaven and earth. Those whom God calls do not just know about Him. If you accept God's calling, you will come to know Him and internalize His very character by having Him living His life in you through the Holy Spirit. How will you know that you really know Him? As John wrote, quote, "We know Him if we keep His commandments." What is your actual goal? Jesus Christ commanded, quote, "But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you," quoted from Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. Throughout the Bible, God's righteousness is described as His commandments. So if you seek God's righteousness, the very nature of God implanted within you through the Holy Spirit, you will be following Christ's direct teaching as your actual goal in life. You will seek above all else His coming government, His kingdom, and prepare for your part in that coming government. All of your thoughts and actions will be directed toward achieving that wonderful goal, the very purpose for which God created you in the first place. The Apostle Paul clearly explains that the purpose for the true saints is to rule or to judge the whole world. He was inspired to write, quote, "Do you not know that the saints will judge the world? And if the world will be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Do you not know that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life?" Quoted from 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 2 and 3. The Apostle John tells us, quote, "And he who overcomes and keeps my works until the end, to him I will give power over the nations. He shall rule them with a rod of iron. They shall be dashed to pieces like the potter's vessels, as I also have received from my Father." Quoted from Revelation chapter 2, verses 26 and 27. John described the inspired, quote, "song of the saints" in this way, quote, "And they sang a new song, saying, You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals. For you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth." Quoted from Revelation chapter 5, verses 9 and 10. Yes, the true saints of God, those who truly overcome their human nature, the temptations of the world, and the lies of Satan the devil, will have the opportunity to serve as kings and priests. And notice, they will reign on the earth, not lounge around in heaven with nothing to do. What was the message of the original Christians? Historian Edward Gibbon reminds us in the 15th chapter of Decline and Fall of the Roman Empire that early Christians believed in God's coming world government. Quote, "The ancient and popular doctrine of the millennium was intimately connected with the second coming of Christ. As the works of creation had been finished in 6 days, their duration in their present state, according to a tradition attributed to the prophet Elijah, was fixed as 6,000 years. By the same analogy, it was inferred that this long period of labor and contention, which was now almost elapsed, would be succeeded by a joyful Sabbath of 1,000 years, and that Christ, with a triumphant band of the saints and the elect that escaped death, or who had been miraculously revived, would reign upon earth until the time appointed for the last and general resurrection." Yes, the early Christians understood God's purpose and why He is calling some out of this present society into His church to prepare for tomorrow's world. True Christians must learn to obey and live by God's laws and ways now as they prepare to teach and train others to live the way of peace during the soon coming millennium, when the kingdom of God, the very government of God, will hold sway over this earth. We must prepare by learning to make wise judgments using the capabilities God has given us. As Jesus Christ clearly revealed in the parable of the minas, those who use their talents and strengths as they overcome sin and obey God will be given actual authority over cities. For Jesus told the man who had gained 10 minas with his mina, "Well done, good servant, because you were faithful in very little, have authority over 10 cities. And the second came, saying, "Master, your mina has earned 5 minas. Likewise, he said to him, "You also be over 5 cities. Quoted from Luke chapter 19, verses 16 through 19. What will life be like under God's government? The Bible clearly tells us, describing the time of Jesus Christ's rule on the earth. Quote, "Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then the lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For waters shall burst forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert." Quoted from Isaiah chapter 35, verses 5 and 6. And then, quote, "No lion shall be there, nor shall any ravenous beast go up on it. It shall not be found there. But the redeemed shall walk there, and the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing, with everlasting joy on their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away." Verses 9 and 10. Frankly, my friends, most of you who are reading this article are among the most blessed on this troubled earth at this time. For when we continually read about the degrees of hunger and starvation now affecting millions of human beings all over the world, and when we read about the increasing torture and rape affecting so many innocent people, we have to cry out, "Thy kingdom come." We live in a world where the scourge of war has created whole generations of soldiers whose arms or legs have been blown off, eyes blinded, ears missing, and emotions scarred for life because of what they have seen in combat. And the Bible tells us that wars and violence will increase in the years leading up to Christ's return. After the returning Jesus Christ puts down a massive worldwide rebellion, he will usher in a time of no war. There will be peace on the earth. No one will need to fear attack by vicious wildlife. Those who are maimed, blind, or deaf will be healed. An atmosphere of love and blessings will be everywhere, as the people who are ransomed from the suffering near the end of this age will be overwhelmed with joy. Right now, this may not seem important to many who have just gone along and not experienced the great suffering in our world, but by the time Christ's real kingdom is set up here on the earth, it will mean very much to countless millions of suffering human beings. And if you and I understand the Bible and truly give ourselves in obedience to service to God, we will have the wonderful opportunity to help, to teach, and to bring joy to countless millions of human beings all over this earth. Describing the soon coming reign of the Messiah, Psalm 72 tells us, quote, "Give the king your judgments, O God, and your righteousness to the king's son. He will judge your people with righteousness and your poor with justice. The mountains will bring peace to the people and the little hills by righteousness. He will bring justice to the poor of the people. He will save the children of the needy and will break in pieces the oppressor. They shall fear you as long as the sun and moon endure throughout all generations. He shall come down like rain upon the grass before mowing, like showers that water the earth. In his days the righteous shall flourish, and abundance of peace until the moon is no more." This is from verses 1 through 7. Then God tells us, quote, "Yes, all kings shall fall down before him. All nations shall serve him. For he will deliver the needy when he cries, the poor also, and him who has no helper. He will spare the poor and needy, and will save the souls of the needy. He will redeem their life from oppression and violence, and precious shall be their blood in his sight." Verses 11 through 14. Truly the downtrodden and the poor will cry for joy when the Messiah comes back to this earth and brings genuine peace of mind and lasting blessings, such as our world has never known before. And we, if we prepare to be a part of it, will have the opportunity to bring about this everlasting joy that God plans for the entire world. This is the coming, quote, perfect government that God Himself has planned and which He will bring about. Some will rebel against it. We can even reject it individually, but it will happen because the Creator and Ruler of the universe promised it and has a plan to bring it about. May God help all of us understand and prepare to have our part in this perfect world government that will soon come to this earth. May you heed God's advice, not just hear the truth of Almighty God, but to act on it and so fulfill your Creator's purpose for your very life. End of article. May we suggest, the world ahead, what will it be like? Jesus Christ will soon establish on the earth a kingdom of perfect peace. Request a free printed copy from the regional office nearest you or order at tomorrowsworld.org. PDF, EPUB, and Kindle are also available.